Blog Talk Radio.
Take a Run Productions.
Kevin, founder of Unknown Paranormal, and the one and the only in the world paranormal stud.
This is Martin, the Love Machine Bravo, founder of Bravo Paranormal.
And this is Jeffrey Sterl, who, unlike Kevin, everybody can understand what I say clearly.
Nice.
All I heard from Kevin, all I heard out of you was, I'm not trying to make fun of you. This is really what I heard.
I'll repeat it because I don't mind doing it. Welcome to Unknown Paranormal Radio. I'm your host, Kevin, founder of Unknown Paranormal, and the one and only person in the world that can be called the Paranormal Stud.
Until I trademark it. Then you will have to pay me in order to say that.
Yeah, that first time around, Kevin, you sounded like you were speaking through a kazoo.
All right.
Very cool. Hey, you know what happened today?
The world didn't end?
Well, no, we still got like 2.5 more weeks before that happens.
You came out of the closet?
My Texans clinched the playoff spot today.
Oh, nice.
Woo-hoo. Whoop-de-doo.
11-1.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens.
We win 2 more games. We win our division and home field advantage.
Oh, nice.
Yes, sir.
Well, good for you.
So, I'm pretty happy.
The only reason you're rooting for a Texas team is because the Yankees are not playing right now.
No, I'm rooting for the Houston team. I always root for the Houston team.
The underdogs.
That's right. Everybody else in this state roots for the Dallas teams. I root for Houston teams. Because that's where I was born. I consider that to be my hometown.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to dampen the party, but I am, like, not a football person. in all fairness, though, I really did try to give it the attention it needed, but for some odd reason, I can't get into football.
Mm-hmm.
Is that bad?
No. Absolutely. I mean, I pretty much stopped watching college football altogether, almost. So pretty much other than the Texans, I just watch, you know, whatever, you know, if there's a decent game on I want to watch, I'll watch that. And maybe, you know, if I can, I go to, you know, my high school, I go to their games.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it, pretty much. And I like football, but I will admit that it is an overrated sport.
I think that is my problem with it, like, because, you know, like, when you talk to any other state,
mm-hmm.
you know, they have, like, cool stuff going on. But then they're like, you know, that's what Texas is known for. Like, we
sure.
will shut down the art department for football.
Oh, yeah. It's sad. It's one of the people I used to work with, he hates football, period. He likes sports. He just doesn't like football. He loves baseball. He'll watch basketball and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And I asked him, I said, well, why do you hate football? He said, to me, football is a homoerotic soap opera.
Nice.
All right.
I just went, well, I can't argue with that.
That's awesome.
Well, for everybody out there, we are now in the last month of the year, December.
Woohoo!
Last month of your life.
Yeah, right. Whatever. So that means most of the teams out there, they're winding down for the year. I know for us, pretty much taking a break. I'm trying to get a team meeting together to kind of plan out next year. We got a couple of new members, or possible new members, I got to take to a cemetery this month, but and let them kind of show me what their knowledge of the paranormal, and that's pretty much it. Our next big event, until we plan other things, right now we're going to the Parunity Fest in March. March 23rd, I believe. So we'll be there. And that's pretty much it. I'm lining out possible guest speakers for East Texas Ghost Con. Hopefully Mr. Martin will do a class on tech.
That was one thing
we were missing. Our last conference was the tech part of things. So.
Woo! Sonny, Jim!
Don't be using all of SWP's sound effects for their show now, Jeff.
Well,
I don't know nothing about that. All I know is that somebody is going to get whooped over this thing.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I could use that sound clip for, like, everyday life, man.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, where you're like driving up, and then like somebody cuts you off to take an exit, just like turn your stereo up real loud so they can hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Or like you're at work, and then like some random person just dumps the work off on you. You're like, oh, yeah, listen to this.
Well, somebody almost ran over me in a parking lot the other day.
Then they realize how much damage your body would do to their car, and they're like,
right.
I better not run over this guy.
That's why, you know, before we went on the air, we were talking about, you know, how no ghost ever tries to take a run at me. You know, that's because they know better.
It's because they would spend the rest of their afterlife trying to run around you.
Well, that may be.
It takes way too much energy for a spirit to manifest to move that big chassis of a body that you have.
Well, they're not
a
spirit.
Oh, man.
It takes a hell of a damn spirit to whip my ass.
Oh, man.
But, yeah, we got all that. And I did mention last Sunday that we have a new show. It's going to start the second Friday in January. Darkness of the Paranormal will be airing here on Friday nights, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we'll have Jennifer Auld and Ms. Cass Starr will be hosting and co-hosting this show. And if you don't know Jennifer Auld, she's a demonologist. And,
cool.
So, yeah, she works for the Pentecostal Church. And her dad was a minister for numerous years and did deliverances and whatnot, exorcisms and all those kind of things involving the darker aspect of the paranormal. So Jennifer's bringing her kind of field, her knowledge of the field to our radio network. So that'll be a great addition to our family. So we're pretty much almost filled up except for Saturday night. So,
you know,
we're reserving that for the Jeff hour, right?
if the show cranks up, it's going to be Martin and myself doing an hour of Jeff bashing.
Oh, hell no. Did I get an hour to just do my stuff?
Actually, you know what,
Lord.
Jeff? We'll let you do a show every February 29th.
Oh, generous of you, Martin.
Now,
I hope I never go to work for Martin, because he'll pay me once every 4 years as well.
Right.
Oh, man.
This February 29th to the next February 29th in 2016.
Now, for a lot of the paranormal teams out there, if you haven't realized, there's a lot of stuff that's supposedly supposed to go on in the universe as far as the planets aligning, the winter solstice, the shifts in the Earth's axis. There's a lot of things that scientifically are supposed to be going on this month. So,
you brought up a good point. What's today's date?
Today is the 3rd.
No, today's the 6th.
Oh, today marks the one day only that three planets, Venus, Jupiter, and I believe Mars, could be Mercury, are going to align perfectly over the three Great Pyramids. It happens tonight. Happens
wow.
once every 4,700 years, man.
Hell
wow.
Yeah.
I'm about to
yeah.
But, yeah, Martin just brought up a good point. And, like I said, if you're into the paranormal research, and you may not be doing a lot like cases and whatnot this month because of the holidays, but keep an eye out and do some logging of data with all the stuff going on. And if you are near a haunted location, kind of check them out this month and try to do some research and see if some of these things, these anomalous things that are going on in our universe, if they cause the paranormal to pick up or whatnot, you know? I mean, it's a good month to do some research, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
Okay,
oh,
Martin,
yeah, yeah.
What'd you say was happening? What'd you say, Martin?
Oh, planets line up over the Great Pyramids.
Ah, yep, there they are. I see it. Okay, going back in.
Sweet.
I have no idea what I was actually looking at there.
you went outside?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, right here, right next to the Great Pyramids. See the pyramids. see the planets. I'm glad we have you on location, you know?
Yeah, good job. Welcome back from Egypt.
Oh, yeah. That was a bad trip.
And, Kevin, me and you are going to have to talk about my contract. I mean, you can pay for Jeff to fly to Egypt. But you don't send the photographer out there to get the one in lifetime picture of it. Or
right,
one in 40
exactly.
lifetime. Is it one in 40, right? 100 years? Oh, man.
Now, if I had to depend on Kevin to get me to Egypt, I'd be going there on a toothpick. Not a rowboat. I don't even get a rowboat. I get a toothpick.
I'm going to give you a means of transportation for next year. Your very own red wagon. That's what you're going to use next year.
Radio flyer?
No.
Oh, no.
Oh, well, son of a bitch. I don't have that cheap knockoff.
Hey, it beats traveling to places by middle finger only. So at least you get a wagon.
Right,
Jeff. Do you have Miss Rosalind Brown? For everybody that knows or seen our advertisement, we're going to have Miss Rosalind Brown on the show tonight. And Jeff, do you have her information to read? I believe we have her on hold.
I'm working on it. Hold on just a minute. Let me get there to this page.
All righty.
Load up. Come on. My computer did not know how to react to being taken outside. It was like, what the hell, dude?
It's a planetary alignment, man.
I guess so. Anyway, as Kevin was saying, this week our guest is Rosalind Brown. And she's a former cast member of Sci-Fi's Ghost Hunters Academy. And she's also appeared on paranormal programs from other channels as well, for Comcast Cable and National Geographic Channel, and even, I believe, the BBC over in England. And I may be wrong on that. It may be a different station over there that I just don't know about. I don't live in England, so I don't know the channels they get there. She joined her first ghost investigation group in 1999 and acted as the assistant director of a local Taps family group for several years. During that time, she conducted hundreds of investigations. She has since branched off and co-founded a group of her own, called Perceptive Paranormal Research. She's committed to freeing her mind of her previously accepted beliefs regarding ghosts and expanding her knowledge base and through individual research, brainstorming and with other paranormal investigators, and exploring exciting new theories and techniques in an effort to help move the investigation field or paranormal field forward. Rosalind's background in a background in psychiatric nursing, and that gives her a unique insight into the minds and motivations of both the living and the dead. And I think that's really, really cool. She's also a Reiki master, an angel therapy practitioner, a psychic medium, and has experiences with helping families dealing with violent hauntings and inhuman activities. She's investigated several notable haunts, including Waverly Hills, Stanley Hotel, Eastern State Penitentiary, the Mark Twain House, Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum, and a historic Fort Mifflin, and Ticonderoga. I have no idea. I'm usually good at pronunciation, but and in Delaware as well. Well, anyway, hello. Is this Rosalind?
Wow, this is Rosalind, and can I tell you that hearing you read my bio makes me sound so much more interesting than I am. So I thank you for that.
It's because I'm such an awesome actor.
Wow, yeah, you're good. I want to meet you because I sound like a good time, I have to tell you.
Yeah, I was going to say I have not nearly done enough with my life after hearing that bio.
Well, I've done other radio shows, and Kevin would introduce me and say, well, here's Jeff. Yeah, he's part of the team. Known him for a long time. Here he is.
Way to get the crowd pumped up there.
That's what I'm saying. That's how you do it, Kevin. You hear that?
Yeah, I hear you.
You taking notes?
Well, now we know what your potential is, so this is a good thing. This is a learning experience. It's a teachable moment, so I think we should take full advantage of it.
Awesome.
But how are you guys doing tonight?
Great.
Pretty good.
I have to ask you, because there's something you put in your bio I had never heard of before, and I've got to ask what this is. What is an angel therapy practitioner?
Ooh, angel therapy. I have an
image of somebody like dressed in an angel outfit in a nurse's office or something. That's the image I'm getting, and I know that's not.
I think we need to discuss these fantasies of yours because they sound much more interesting than what I'm about to tell you. So, we can take this to any level you want, but
yes.
That's not how I usually operate, but, whatever. It's getting late. But what I am is Doreen Virtue, actually, she is very well known in the field. Mm-hmm. If you've ever heard the term light worker, that's actually a term that I don't know if she coined it or if she sort of put it into, more into the common lexicon. But Doreen Virtue has written, and actually she is the originator of this angel therapy practitioner. And basically what it is it depends on your personal religious beliefs. Now, I personally was raised in a religious background. I was raised in a Methodist family. But I consider myself today to be more spiritual than religious. So I've kind of taken bits and pieces from different religious teachings that I've learned during the years and sort of formed my own spirituality. But what Doreen Virtue believes is that we all have access to guidance from angels. And whether it's the archangels, like Archangel Michael and Gabriel that everyone hears of, or your own guardian angels who we also have to help us and guide us. So what an angel therapy practitioner does is I kind of act like the messenger for you. Now, you don't need somebody like me to get those messages. You actually get messages of guidance and love and support all the time. It's just we don't always either ask for the guidance or we don't always hear it when it comes. Mm-hmm. And in general, when you're dealing with angels basically, and again, this is my personal belief system. I'm not trying to convince anyone to believe what I believe. I'm telling you what I believe and what I accept. I believe that we have these angels who will guide us if we ask for the help. because we are here to have our own personal human experience in this incarnation, and they're not going to intervene unless we ask for it, because it all comes down to free will. And, you know, it sounds like we're getting off into the weeds, and I apologize, but the interesting thing, and if we bring that all back, I think that free will is actually one of the least explored aspects of the paranormal field. Because, you know, I personally think it's all about free will. I think ghosts, why they're here, is all about free will. I think why some people sort of get in trouble with the more violent and the more inhuman things is because of free will. You know, I just think it all comes down to free will. So to me, you know, the angel therapy practitioner does actually tie into what you and I do every day just as a regular old ghost hunter.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
And I was right. Nowhere near what I thought it was going to be.
Sorry. You know, if you've ever seen somebody do readings on, like, with tarot cards, you know, I can actually use cards. There's angel therapy cards where you can turn them and get guidance that way. Or I can sit across from you and do a reading for you, kind of like a psychic medium would do a reading, but I'm sort of communicating with your angels and giving you guidance on what direction you should take in life. So it's pretty cool. It's one of those things that I actually tend not to – I don't tend to call on the help like I should, you know, and take the guidance that I need. It's kind of the physician, heal thyself kind of thing. So, you know, I'm the same type of human like everybody else. I make the same silly mistakes. But, you know, there's guidance there if you want it. So it's just worth looking into. Yeah. It's definitely worth giving it a Google.
This may be a question to you, but it's I just got it. It just popped into my head, and I'm too curious to not have this answered. What is your thoughts on angels having a sense of humor?
What do you mean? Do I think that they do things to in a humorous way to get our attention? Like, what do you mean with a sense of humor?
Okay, every now and then, I'm not going to claim to be psychic or anything like that, but every now and then I will hear my angel tell me something, and it's something that's just such a smart-ass statement, I just want to look around and go, well, duh.
It might not be your angels, it might be your spirit guides. And there's the difference, you know, because angels, with the exception of, I believe there's two angels, archangels, who actually did walk the earth as humans, but most of them are just angels. They strictly were angels. They never walked as humans on this earth, where your spirit guides tend to be humans who now have ascended, and now they are coming back to help you and guide you. So, yeah, humans, your spirit guides will absolutely have their own personality and their own way of getting through to you. So I would be more inclined to think it's either a spirit guide or one of your dead loved ones who sort of hangs around and tries to guide you.
Well, a good friend of mine who's going to be on our show in a few weeks, Michael Watley, he's seen my angel, my guardian angel, and he's flat out told me that sucker is animated and likes to run around. And I've seen, like, you know, on one side of the room and, like, in another side, I'm like, sit still.
Interesting. Then again, you know, we're talking, it might just be a matter of semantics between the way he's describing it and the way I understand it.
It could be.
But, you know, but the moral of the story, which is cool for everybody really to accept, is that, you know, we do have a lot of support. And so many times we all feel like we're all alone, and it's like, oh, my gosh, nobody understands what I'm going through. I'm by myself. Nobody's helping me. Nobody wants to help me. Will they even notice if I died tomorrow? You know, we get in these woe-is-me moments. But, you know, we're always supported, and help is always there if you ask. You got to ask. You know, the free will is a big deal. And, you know, in very rare circumstances will angels come in and intervene. Spirit guides will. They can intervene, but your angels tend to stand back and be there kind of on hold and available. So, you know, just ask for the help, guys. You're not alone. You're loved. You're supported.
Very cool. Oh,
definitely. Now, how did you get involved in the paranormal? What did you grow up with it, or was there some moment in your life that you just decided to get into this field?
You know, it's funny. My background in it is actually, I always feel like it's interesting because, you know, I always say, you go to these, I do a lot of events. I mean, a lot of events. And so I meet a lot of people. And if you go to these places, you'll see there are not many black people in the ghost hunting field. And I don't know why it is. I always look at it and go, oh, great, I'm the only one again. You know, it's like, oh, okay, here we go. I guess I'm representing the community. But it's I notice that a lot. But, you know, so in my family, I live in South Jersey. I live in Woodbury, New Jersey. It's about 10 miles east of Philadelphia in southern New Jersey. And in this area, where I grew up, you know, this area has a lot of history. Like, Woodbury itself was occupied during the Revolutionary War. You know, my town was established back in the 1600s. I mean, we have a lot of history, a lot of that spiritual energy around here. It's Native American land, too. And in my family in particular, it was kind of like the attitude was they believed that ghosts existed, but we didn't talk about it. Mm-hmm. You know, we accepted it. If something weird happened and somebody mentioned it, it's like, yeah, everybody kind of accepted, yeah, it was probably a ghost, but that was it. We didn't explore it. We didn't poke at it. You know, and I always like to say my aunt summed it up the best when she would say, let the dead stay dead. And so that's what we did. So I was always curious about ghosts, but I didn't really pursue it. I wasn't one of those people that was a voracious reader of all the freaky books when I was a kid. It wasn't really my interest. But when I was a little girl, I did have premonitions. And I would have them. They were waking premonitions. I would have these this information that whenever something bad was going to happen to a family member, I would know it. Not whenever, but whenever the premonitions came, it was always something bad that was going to happen to a family member. I mean, obviously bad things happened that I didn't know about. But I was having these premonitions, and at first my family was reluctant to even really pay attention to it until the things started to come true. And they were always things that were immediate. You know, it would be within 48 hours they would come true. So my family did accept it, but again, they kind of tamped it down and we didn't talk about it much. But then when I was older, when I was in my early 20s, I was watching a local news broadcast around Halloween, and it was ABC News, and they talked about this local ghost hunting group. And this is, again, this is back in 1999. It's before ghost hunter shows were around and the internet really wasn't what it is today. So I didn't know that there were ghost hunting groups out there. And then to find out there was one in my own backyard, I mean, it blew my mind. So I went right out and joined and have been involved in the field ever since. There was a brief hiatus where I had stepped out of the field probably for a couple years when I had my younger son, and then I got back into it. So, but it's something I've been really passionate about for a while now.
Wow.
That's very nice.
Yep, I love it. It's what I do. It gets in the blood, doesn't it? It's funny. I was talking to a friend of mine a couple of nights ago. I think it was Friday night. He and I were talking, and I called him I probably called him around 12 because he's like young, so I knew he'd be up. So I called him around 12 or so in the morning, and we talked until about 1 or so in the morning. And I said to him, like, what are we doing sitting on the phone? Like, it's 1 in the morning on a Friday night. We should be out ghost hunting. You know, I just kind of felt like, we're wasting time. What the hell am I doing talking to you when I'm on Facebook, you know? Like, there's ghosts out there right now. But, yeah, it's definitely a passion of mine. It's not something I just do for any ulterior motive. I don't do it for money. Despite having been on a TV show, you know, my ghost hunting that I do is all for free. I never charge. I'm really against charging for those kinds of services. I mean, that's my personal belief. So, you know, I go out, I help people, and I do it because I love it and because I want to help people.
Yeah, that's definitely what we like to do as well, you know. And there's been times a lot of the times when clients call me, the first couple words out of their mouth is, how much y'all charge? And I'm like, nothing. You know, and we do this to help people, you know. And I said, we don't put a price on that. I said, if we can come in and leave your home better than we found it, then we've done our job. And that's all the
absolutely
payment we need.
You know, I completely agree with you. And that's one thing I like to say, you know, one of the most gratifying things for me is when I go into a private home and the kids are afraid to sleep in their own beds at night.
Yeah.
And by the time we're finished working with them, the kids are sleeping in their beds and they're comfortable in their house. And, yeah, they still have some activity, but it's something that's manageable that they can deal with and that they understand better. And to me, that's just because, honestly, everybody should be able to feel secure in their own home.
Sure.
And especially a child. I mean, to me, you talk about feeling alone and not feeling supported. Being that little kid in bed in the middle of the night, and you've told your parents that something's going on, and they're telling you with your imagination, go back to bed. And now you are the ultimate example of feeling completely alone, sitting in the middle of that big bed in the dark with the blankets over your head, just praying for the sun to come up. I mean, to me, that's just horrible. That's just tragic. So, you know, I really, really enjoy being able to help families. And we do, you know, my group, we do a lot of historical places. I'm a big fan of doing cemeteries. I know some people think it's a little disrespectful. Others think there's no ghosts in the cemeteries. Why would ghosts be around where their bodies were? And I know people have different aspects on it, but I love cemeteries. I love the energy. I love the historic ones. I just love the look and feel. So I really enjoy cemeteries. So I do spend a lot of time doing what I consider to be fun hunts, but then private hunts are completely separate, and that's really where you feel like you're making a difference.
Oh, yeah. And our group, we'll go to cemeteries too. We just call them ghost hunts and not investigations, you know, and we might go out there and try some new equipment or whatnot. And, you know, a lot of times it's cool just to go to some of these cemeteries. And like you said, you see these really, really old headstones and some really cool designs and whatnot, you know. And for people out there, they're like, oh, you go in the cemeteries. And I'm like, we're real respectful, you know. We're even paranoid about walking on top of people's graves. And if there's a U.S. Soldier buried there, we pay our respect to them, and
sure,
you know, we the type of things. And you know, and for some people are like, well, why would there be there's your earthbound spirits, and some of them, depending on the situation, you know, they might be there. Or I know one cemetery that we visited quite a bit, and we've stopped going because there's a Mr. Inhuman spirit there that somebody opened a door to, and he's kind of trapped these other spirits. He's kind of put a wall around this cemetery, and we're still kind of trying to get some more knowledge on how to go in there and close that portal, because it's there was a Satanist group that was going in there years and years ago, and we've had numerous psychics go in there. Because we got a few on our team as well, and they all come with the same reading. We've had people scratched. I mean, really some horrific things. So,
oh, wow.
And then, yeah, and, you know, we've put some of that evidence out there on YouTube, some of the EVPs that we got from there, and then I'll get contacted all the time. Hey, where is this cemetery at? You know, and I'll tell them where it's at, but I also fair warn them that there's some – I won't flat out go, hey, there's a demon in there, right? But I'll tell them, I'll say, you know, there's some activity in there, and you need to be forewarned that, you know, it can get pretty bad, you know. So, but it's one of those things. It's just one of those things where I, at some point, I want to go in there and help those spirits out, you know, and get rid of this.
Sure.
Thing.
Well, you can try calling angels in, you know, and you don't need anything special or
actually,
fancy.
We've done that.
Okay.
Actually, what's really, it's crazy in a way. There's three sections of the cemetery, and the middle part and the back part is where this thing's at. And you walk to the very front section, and you don't feel heavy anymore. You feel at peace. And everybody that's been there that's got some kind of psychic ability, they all talk to the same angel. There's actually an angel hanging out in the front part. He was called in, apparently, from what he told them. And then what it was when we took our, you know, some of our members in that have psychic ability, we took them in one at a time. So they didn't know what the other person, their reading was, right? And I videoed them separately. And they all got the same thing. And apparently there was a reverend that was buried, a predominant guy in the church that was buried in the front section. And when this thing came about, he called upon the angels. And there's an angel sitting there, and he said, we asked, why would you be here? And he said, I was called here. And I said, why don't you take care of the, you know, the inhuman spirit that's in the other part? And he said, I can't. He said,
sorry.
Oh, my gosh. Is that your ringtone? That is so awesome.
I was downloading it to my computer, and apparently my iTunes just popped up after I downloaded it. I went, crap.
I wonder.
That's funny. But, yeah, the angel said that he's waiting on somebody to uninvite this thing, and then he'll take care of it.
Hmm. Well, that's interesting. That sounds like a whole case study you guys should have going on, because that's an interesting,
yeah.
interesting situation.
Yeah,
but that's the thing.
You know, like you said, you could go to this location, and not only do you have an angel, but you have the opposite end of the spectrum in a demonic in the same
yeah.
area. So, yeah, it's a very interesting place to go.
You know, you could also, I mean, is it Native American land by chance?
I don't know. We haven't really researched the land,
okay.
but it's
I
not
don't
in the
believe so.
Native American spirits tend to be very protective of the land. So if you can appeal to them, that actually is a way to help people, too. Appealing to the Native American spirits that are on the land and asking their help. So it's interesting because I know I have a lot of friends who are strictly scientific about their ghost hunting, and I respect that. But I just feel like they're missing a whole aspect of it because if we truly are dealing with, if we're trying to explore what happens when we die, we're trying to explore what happens to our spirit, then I think it's foolish to ignore the spiritual aspects of ghost hunting. And ghost hunting, some people, again, that's another thing that semantics, some people find the term ghost hunting to be offensive. They want to call it investigation. I'm not saying it to be offensive. I don't mean it as a pejorative. But I think that the spiritual is an integral part of what we do. And if you ignore it, I think you're basically being willingly, you know, choosing to be ignorant of an entire aspect of what you're actually exploring. And that doesn't sound scientific to me at all.
I follow along the same lines as that as well. I like to explore more of the scientific side, but at the same time, I'm not so into the scientific side that I'm pushing out the results that I'm going after, you know?
Sure, because if you are truly just looking for energy, if you're physically looking for energy, if you're going in there like an electrician and trying to trace out wires and figure out where the electricity is zipping through and why, if there's a short or an open that's causing a problem, okay, fine. But if the energy now has consciousness, and you're looking at the wires trying to figure out why the electricity chooses to go down this branch versus that one, it's a different animal. It's not science anymore.
Oh, yeah.
There's a word to it. So, yeah, I just think people are leaving a lot out when they go in that way, and it's a shame. I mean, I think some people do it because they have doubts themselves about death and dying, or maybe they're uncomfortable about it, and they're looking for hardcore physical proof that they can hold in their hands and shake and smell and look at and measure, because that makes them feel more comfortable with the spiritual side of it. So, you know, to me, it's almost like a security blanket as far as I'm concerned. There is a place for faith in some of this. And, again, not necessarily religious faith, but, you know, spiritual faith and faith in believing that there's more than us. And, you know, there's a bigger plan for you. So, but
that's
just my aspect. I love talking to people about what they believe. I never go into people saying this is what it is. This is – I don't – talk in absolutes, you know, I speak in my own theories and beliefs, and, you know, I like to have dialogue.
That's
what my team, Unknown Paranormal, that's what we're based on, is we do both sides of the spectrum. If I need more scientific, technical type questions, I hit up my buddy Martin here with that kind of, but we have all the scientific stuff, right, and we conduct it scientifically, but at the same time, I have people in the group that have gifts. Mike, he's got all the gifts. He's like a beacon. He can see, hear, the whole nine yards. Well, cool. We try to correlate. He reads because he goes in cold. I never tell him anything about the history of the location. And we have it all documented so that after he reads, we can show him how his read was correlating with the history. And then at the same time, we use the scientific equipment to try to gather evidence to prove that what he is seeing or feeling or whatever it might be is actually there, and we're documenting it. So we try to hit the whole enchilada, I guess you could say, when it comes to the paranormal, and it works well. And we definitely bring our spiritual aspect to it. You know, we're not
sure.
You know, there's a difference between being religious and spiritual, and we have come to our own theories with our group, and we base it all on basically the Bible, and we've even started collecting. I know Mike's got several different versions of the Bible, the Catholic Bible, so we try to correlate all the religions and take bits and pieces like you said you do.
Sure. Because,
you know, when you're dealing with clients, you're dealing with people that all have different beliefs, different faiths. So you have to understand them and what they believe in order to try to help them.
Absolutely. And not even just so that we can try to help them, but also so that whatever assistance we give them will actually work. Because if you're telling them that they, you know, it has to be something that they can embrace and believe. So, yeah, it's so important. And, it, again, and if you're going in just scientific, then, I mean, seriously, I hate to say this and make it sound like me, I'm an a-hole, but if you're going in to help a family who's really having a problem with a haunting, and you're going in strictly with scientific stuff, and you're telling them at the end of 8 hours, you're saying, hey, or you're calling them 2 weeks later and saying, here's a packet with, here's the EVPs we got, here's the photos we got, yeah, we think you have a ghost, have a good day. I mean, how is me handing you an audio CD full of EVPs really helping you besides telling you that you're not crazy and you're not imagining it? I mean, that's really the first step. How do you really help? Yeah. Is that really helping? You know, is that a resolution? I don't think it is.
Yeah, that's just making them aware that there's something there. And we've talked about this on the show before. There's been numerous cases that we've inherited because a team like that had gone in there, collected evidence, and so, you know, a lot of the times it's something either malevolent or inhuman that is there, and they had a bad experience while they were investigating, so they hand them the evidence and say, yeah, you have something bad here, we can't help you. And then they leave them just high and dry. And then they call us, they call us, and we basically go in and mop up the mess, you know. And,
yeah,
and
don't you love that, being the cleanup crew?
Yeah.
It's amazing. And you know, and you wonder, what was the motivation of the group that was there before? Are they just going in there so they can have a paranormal experience and have something cool to put up on, you know, on their webpage? I mean, and you know what? Honestly, and then this is another thing, because, again, I try to be very fair and I try to be honest about what I believe and how I feel about other people. I've got to tell you straight up, if that's what you want, I don't judge you for that. Just stay out of private homes. You can do that at the haunted, historic haunted locations. You can do that in cemeteries. You don't need to go into private homes to do that. So if you just want to get a thrill, go get a thrill someplace else. Don't drag other people in as entertainment for you. I just don't think that's right, and I don't think it's ethical.
Because, you know, when you're dealing with residential cases, every case is different. The people are different that live in the home. You know, there's always different situations, different scenario. And when you walk in place, it's not like going to a historical location that hundreds of teams have been in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what's there. You're going in blind, you know. And,
absolutely.
Yeah, I've had a big deal about that, and I always preach to folks that are trying to start up a team, and I try to tell them, please, don't take residential cases for a while until you have been in the field a while and gather knowledge.
Absolutely.
Right? Don't try to test yourself, because you're not going to do them any justice.
I agree. It's not fair to use people's families as a guinea pig. And then you go in and you stir things up, and then you get to go home and put your head on your pillow, and they're left to deal with your mess, you know. And it's just, it's tragic. It really is. And some people are so desperate for help, they'll take it wherever they can get it. And a lot of times they end up with people like that. Because honestly, the people that are doing it right, a lot of times we're overloaded. And we can't get to all the cases, so they'll take whoever's available. It really is a shame. You know, I always said I feel like there should be a paranormal code of ethics to do no harm, you know, and there just should be a couple things that should be in that code of ethics. And, you know, I know we aren't all going to agree on those things, but at the very least we can agree not to go in and make things worse, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Great, now I'm depressed. This is a real bummer, man. You guys are bringing me down.
Kevin, you mentioned how when you need, like, you know, psychic stuff and, you know, someone to see spirits, you call in Mike. And when you need tech stuff, you call in Will or Martin. What the hell you call me for?
You're our guinea pig. If you've ever – see, you don't know. Like, you've been – the last place we were in, that hospital, when I don't know where you were at in the hospital, but I know I was in another section of the hospital, and I always to try to get a reaction out of the spirits, I always tell them to go slap you on the butt or hit you in the head.
Mean. Please tell me you're kidding. Are you
serious? No, he's not. That's a bad thing.
Oh, my gosh, you suck.
Yet he says, I don't deserve a tour bus.
Holy crap.
All right, Jeff. Jeff, I'm going to be completely fair to you. We have you around because you tell the better story. So if something great happens, we can count on you to jot that down for us.
Oh, well,
so
okay.
He's like your paranormal town crier in a way.
Yeah, he's like like our paranormal Hunter S. Thompson.
Word.
Can you play music? Because you could be like their bard and just go around telling their tales. I mean, that would be awesome.
Nice.
I do play music. As a matter of fact, our intro is a riff that I wrote and recorded.
Sweet. Well, there you go. You have a new role. You can change your title on your website.
Well, not only am I the paranormal sex symbol, I'm also the paranormal entertainer.
Yeah. Do I have to remind you again after last year, when you tried out for the X Factor, no, Jeff, you are not the X Factor.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. I'm fine. I don't end up.
You really tried out for that?
I really did. When they came to the hour, I auditioned, and I was told, you know, my audition was good, but they told me no, which turns out is probably a good thing because I would have kicked Simon's ass all over the damn seat.
I have to admit, I've never watched the show, but I am aware of it. I just don't watch TV in general.
I've never watched it either. I just know who he is and that he's an asshole.
No, he's blunt.
I'm blunt, but I'm not that kind of a jerk.
Well, then again, though, remember, he's in entertainment, so there's the entertainment aspect. He's giving the people what they want, I guess. But I always liked him on American Idol, though, I have to admit.
Now, you know, one thing that I always come across when we go to events or whatnot with other teams or some of these newer teams, you know, some folks out there, they're all hell-bent on trying to get their own TV show or getting on television. Well, you've been there. And
mm-hmm.
I always ask, you know, folks that have been on TV, you know, it's not as much it's cracked up to be as far as what people have in their mind and then when you're actually involved in it. You know, it's a lot of hard work.
My perspective on the TV thing is going to be different, I guess, than a lot of other shows because my show was a competition show. So it wasn't quite the same as, you know, being on your own show. But honestly, I don't understand these groups that think that being in the paranormal is a stepping stone to being on TV. You know, I find it hard to respect groups like that who just want to be famous. I mean, I personally, you know, when I talk about my TV experience, you know, one thing I like to make clear is, first of all, I wasn't looking to be on TV. I actually didn't go out and audition to be on the show. I was literally just sitting home in South Jersey as part of my group. I was assistant director of my group here and just minding my own business, doing my thing here. And I got an email from a talent agency in California, just out of the blue, saying, hey, we're casting for season 2 of Ghost Hunters Academy. We think you'd be a great fit. We'd love you to audition or apply. And I looked at it and I said, delete. I'm like, what the heck? Like, come on. And, you know, first of all, I'd never seen the show, and I had no interest in being on it anyway. And, I don't watch TV, so I've never seen most of these paranormal shows. And I assumed it was something they had sent to everyone in my group because when the things I mentioned in my bio, the other shows that I had done, those were all shows where they came and they needed a local group to come and participate because they had some paranormal episode they wanted to shoot and they needed a local ghost group to help them. So that's what I did. Like the UK Living Channel, I've never even seen that episode. I don't know if I ended up on the cutting room floor or not. You know, Comcast Cable, and then we did the one for the Travel Channel or for National Geographic Channel at Eastern State Penn. I know I was in that one, but I was only in it briefly. It's not like I had a big role or anything. So Ghost Hunters Academy was the first thing that I did that actually was a main thing. And when they sent me the email and when I finally realized they were serious, I went and I auditioned and I participated because I figured, well, I don't really want to be on TV because I really wasn't, you know, I'm kind of shy. I've gotten over most of that, but I'm still kind of an introvert for the most part. But to have the opportunity to travel the country, to investigate amazing places, and to be able to support your family, you know, to me was like American dream. Like, yeah, this is all I want to do. I love paranormal. So, you know, I didn't want to compete. I didn't want the survivor type, you know, off with their head, put out their torch kind of thing.
Yeah.
And the weird thing with the show is when they sent me the email asking me to audition, I actually said, you know what, let me go on YouTube and see what the show's about first. And I went and I watched, I think I watched the first two episodes, and that's actually not what it was like in the first season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't, somebody didn't go home at the end of every episode. It wasn't that kind of show. It was more, you work as a team, and if there's a weak link, that person gets sent home. If you're all doing good, you all move on. And I felt like I could do with that. And when I got there, they actually changed the show. So they actually gave us a new contract when we arrived on set. So it kind of was like a bait and switch because it wasn't what we anticipated when we left our homes and flew out there.
Yeah.
But I went with it, and I said, you know what, let's see what happens. And, you know, I didn't win. I made it to episode 4 out of 6. Definitely were some negative experiences from being in the competition, but in the end, it was a really good experience overall, and it was a really good stepping stone for me because now I am able to get out there and use this as a stepping stone to getting myself out there in different ways. So I've actually spent this entire last year doing every event that I could find, really mostly in an effort to get out there. And now, okay, you may have seen things on TV. You may have seen things edited a certain way, cast a certain way, sliced up, we call it Franken-splicing, you know, sliced up in a certain way to portray a certain aspect that the producers wanted to show. But you actually didn't see the reality of what happened when we were on the road. You know, that it's not what happened. And now I'm out there defining myself. So I'm no longer being defined by what people saw on TV. So that's what I enjoy, the opportunity to get out in front of people and talk to them really about the paranormal like I'm talking to you guys and define myself. And then they can form their own judgments. So that's kind of the takeaway from that for me. But honestly, the best lesson I learned off of being on reality TV in this competition, I have learned how to let go of this need I used to have to control how people perceived me. You know, that just was always important to me. I wanted people to perceive me the way that I felt that I was actually was. You know, I didn't want to be misunderstood or mischaracterized. I wanted you to really see me as I am. And I've learned to let go of that because you can't. People are going to form their own opinions. People are going to say really crappy things about you. Not everybody's going to like you and be your friend. Even people that you think are your friends really aren't because they're going to talk about you behind your back. Like, I learned all of these things. And I think I came out still being a positive person. I still tend to trust people until they give me a reason not to. So I don't think I'm jaded. I just think I'm more realistic about that. So I'm definitely a happier person being able to let go of that need to control things that, honestly, you can't control, and, frankly, they shouldn't matter. That's my big tangent. I've been talking for 10 minutes now. You guys aren't interrupting me. What the hell? I'm like the runaway guest. What are you doing? You're losing control here.
No, this is like this is raw. It's like having raw footage, you know?
I need a shock collar so you can just zap me when I'm, like, talking for too long.
It was the same way when we had Sarah Martinez on, and she was talking about her experience on the show.
Ah,
so
Vera, she's my girl. Vera's awesome. She should have won, man. When they sent me home, she should have been the last man standing. I told them that, but you know, whatever. They missed a good opportunity with her because she's fantastic.
Well, that's okay because she's got her show on Blog Talk, and I enjoy listening to it. So.
Oh yeah, she's wonderful. Yeah, she's good. She's the real deal, man. She really is.
Yeah.
You know what I love about her? She really has the true intellectual curiosity about the paranormal. Like, she just, you know, I mean, she's, like, excited. I remember when I was a kid, and my sister was, like, a real science kid. She was 4 years older than me. Now she's, like, a biologist. But she got this remember the chemistry sets we used to get? And I'm probably older than you guys. I'm 40. But we used to get these chemistry sets back in the day, and all these crazy, dangerous chemicals that the kids could mix together, and things would happen, and it was always very exciting. And I remember seeing that and thinking, wow, what is that to, you know? Like, I wanted to touch it all and kind of taste it all and, you know, make crazy stuff happen. And that's like Vera. Like, that's her passion and thirst for the paranormal. She gets excited about everything, and I love it because it's really, you know, I think after you've been in the field for so long, you kind of lose some of that wow factor, you know, and you kind of seeing that in somebody who hasn't been in it as long, you kind of start to get some of that back yourself. So, yeah, Vera's wonderful. Love her.
Yeah, I had that chemistry set because I'm no Jeff, I'm not 40 yet. I'm 30.
Dude, 40 is totally the new 30. Trust me, I've never felt it looks better.
I didn't say anything about you being 40.
40's wonderful. 40, you know what? Things look beautiful from 40. It's a whole different perspective. Trust me. Trust me.
I'm not gonna lie. I'm 32, and I still get excited about that chemistry set.
Yeah, I love it, man. I wanted one so bad, and she got it, and I never did.
Bummer. I always felt like I was going to turn coal into gold, you know, like.
Oh, dude, you're like an alchemist at heart.
Yeah.
But it's
especially
cool to
the ones
have that excitement and that sense.
Yeah, especially
that,
the ones that, like, you get a formula on crystals, you know, you're like, I'm watching them grow right now.
Yes. Seriously, there's nothing you can't do with that set. At least that's what you believe when you open it. You're like, oh, my gosh, the possibilities are endless.
Oh, yeah.
And honestly, they're not. But they really, really feel it. And, you know, that's the thing with the paranormal. That's one thing I love. Honestly, besides just the ethics aspect, there are no freaking rules. There are no experts. There's no real facts, you know. It's just a world with a bunch of theories that we can play with and apply, you know, and then talk about it. And that's where we miss it. We sit here and we play with stuff, and maybe we apply some things, but people aren't getting together and talking about it. So it's like we have little bits and pieces. And I always, my theory is, here I go, running away again. My theory is that when it comes to figuring out really, like, what happens to us when we die, like, what really happens and what the real story is with ghosts and hauntings, I always feel like the truth isn't going to be something that I'm going to find or that either of you guys are going to find or they're going to find on sci-fi or anything like that. I feel like the truth exists between us all, in that space that exists between us. And only by coming together with the bits and pieces and experiences that we all have attained and putting them together and talking about it, I think that's when we're going to start to unlock some of these mysteries. And I just wish more people would talk. And when I do these events, I'm always telling people, I say, you know what, guys? Don't just come here and talk to the people like me whose face is on the friggin' poster. You need to be talking to the person in the seat next to you or the guy who's, like, in the drive-thru behind you or, you know, the people that you're seeing everywhere. Like, talk to the other teams, talk to the other ticket holders, talk to everybody that you can because you should be having conversations and learning from each other because, honestly, we all have unique experiences. Everybody who's passionate about this field has something to share that I haven't experienced. You know, you guys are telling me stories that I haven't experienced. So these are all pieces of that puzzle. So let's start putting this together, man. Let's build one of those big, giant, crazy quilts that people put together where we all come together with our little patch and we sew our little quilt square and then we all come out with something beautiful and it makes sense at the end. You know, that's kind of how we should be thinking. But
Kevin, I have my Christmas present for this year. We need to make this quilt happen. I want a paranormal quilt.
Hell yeah. And we can get together and have one of those quilting bees like the Amish have.
Nice.
Dude, it's going to rock. We can raise a barn. Like, we can do it all, whatever you want. Churn butter, what? What do you want to do?
Churn butter.
Allison, in our, who's in our Rat Pack tonight, it's what we call our chat room, we call it a Rat Pack, she wants to know if Waverly Hills was like it was on Ghost Hunters on TV. She wants to know if it was really scary.
Okay, there's two caveats to this. Number one. And this isn't an age thing. Yes, I'm 40, but that's not what it is. I have a horrible memory. So I just want to put that out there now. If I'm telling you I'm not remembering stuff or if I'm pausing, it's not because I'm trying to make things up. My memory's crap. So sometimes it takes me a while to really sift through all that gray matter and figure out the facts. But that aside, when we investigated Waverly, it was actually the first episode of the series. So the problem was, even though we were there for, I think we were there for three nights, I think it was three nights, and then we went back and did the reveal there and all that. So despite being there night after night after night, we didn't really get a lot of time to truly investigate. A lot of it was setting up scenes, showing us rolling up in the RV, showing us do this, getting this scene, doing the tour. We didn't have a lot of time to truly, truly investigate like you would traditionally. However, that place was one of the creepiest places I've ever been in my life. The energy there is crazy. Just the feel and look of it is, it's imposing, it's intimidating in a good way. I mean, it really gives you that creep factor that haunted places don't always have. You know, a lot of times haunted places look like any other place. This place is creepy. So, yeah, it's really an intense experience. My group was lucky enough to spend time down in the death tunnel, and, you know, the body chute, what they call the death tunnel. Mm-hmm. I know the Booth Brothers did that fabulous film about it. So that down there was really, I think, one of the most intense places that we actually got into, because it was one of the only places that we really were set on our own to just investigate. You know, it was just nice. Us. It was my team and a camera guy and I think the sound guy, and that was it. So it wasn't, you know, us with a whole crew like the rest of the place was. But, yeah, I mean, if you get an opportunity to go there, I definitely recommend it. I mean, don't spend your whole mortgage to go there. I mean, you should be spending, you know, a reasonable price if you can get a nice group together and pay, what, $100 a head or something like that and go out and do it. I think it's definitely worth doing.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, our team member, Mike, he's been there 3 times. He said one time it wasn't very active, and then another time he said he went there and it was just crazy active. They actually
Isn't
had
that
like
wonderful?
One of them. They had like a rubber ball, you know, one of them balls you can get at Walmart, kind of
yeah.
looks like a beach ball, not as big. And they threw it down the hallway, and about a minute later, the ball got thrown back.
Oh, isn't that something? Isn't that something? That's cool.
Yeah.
See, that's the kind of stuff I like to see. I mean, I, you know, as a psychic medium, that's something I kind of recently coming out about and really embracing the fact that I actually can do that stuff. But I get a lot of feelings. I get a lot of psychic impressions when I go to locations. I don't usually see things. And it's funny because people think, oh, you know, these ghost hunters, they do hundreds of investigations. They've got to be seeing full-body apparitions by now. And honestly, I don't think I've ever seen a true full-body apparition. I've seen, in my head, I've seen very clearly what a spirit might look like. I've seen shadows. I've seen shadow people. But as far as a full, what looks like flesh and blood and directly in front of you or something that looks transparent, I've never seen. But what I really get excited about potentially seeing is something like that ball getting thrown back. That's the kind of stuff I like. I like seeing the doors open in front of you and things get moved. Stuff like that
yeah.
is so much more concrete to me than a lot of other things that we experience on these hunts.
Oh, yeah. We've seen some crazy things in our times. I don't know what it is about us. Martin got a little dose of that. He took a road trip with us to him and his wife. To Tennessee, we went to Old South Pittsburgh Hospital, and
nice.
Yeah, that place. We weren't there what, Martin? 30 minutes, and that door opened by itself. And
oh yeah. I was we had just gotten there. I probably, you know, you get inside, you sign all the forms saying you're not going to spray paint the walls and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We're unloading the two vans that we took, and I walked down the hall by myself. You go past, like, it's almost like a, set up like a normal hospital, you know, real long hallway, and then you pass the nurse's desk, and I took a left, and my room was going towards the left, and Unknown's team, their rooms were headed towards the right. So as I take this left, it was only just me down the hallway, and luckily for me, I had my recorder going. I didn't have any video going, but I had my recorder going. And then all of a sudden, I just hear this door open up, and I was like, what? It stopped me in my tracks because, I mean, it was kind of loud, you know? So, you know, I look over at the door, and this door was, like, right next to me. It was, like, 2 doors down from my room. And I was like, no way. I was like, I've only been here 5 minutes, and there's, you know, already. And it's, like, 11 o'clock in the morning. It's not like it's, you know, 4 or 5 p.m.
Yeah.
So, you know, my curiosity got the best of me. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go check this out. Gonna make sure this place isn't rigged, you know. Like, I was still in that like skeptical mode, like it has to be rigged up, you know.
Sure.
So I went into the room and I was checking out this door. I checked the whole room and it was just legit. It was just a old small room where patients used to be, and I was like, okay. So I come out of the room and I go to close the door, and the door is like super hard to close, like almost like when it rains too much outside and your door swells, you know?
Swells, yeah. So,
and I finally get it closed, and it stays closed, and I was like, okay, you know, it's now hard to open, so it maybe if that was the case, then you know, it maybe it was partially open or something. So
yeah.
I don't know.
A little bit later, Mike walked down there where you were. You know, you didn't even say anything to Mike. He walked around that nurse's station and stopped. I said, "What?" And he said, "I just saw a spirit go into that room."
Yeah.
And door. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And then, right as I was, you know, I closed the door and I was like, "Okay, cool. It's shut for now, right?" So picked up my stuff and I was about to head to my room, and as soon as I walked away from that door, I heard it lock from the inside.
Get out of here.
Yeah, it locked.
Did
it,
you
like,
go back
itself.
And try it and see if it was locked?
Yeah, it was locked. It was like legitimately locked.
I couldn't
even turn the door handle.
Oh my gosh. It's funny, people ask for messages and signs and stuff. That's a pretty clear message.
Yeah.
That was somebody who did not want to be bothered by you.
Once I set my stuff down, I was like, this sets the tone for the whole weekend, you know, like this is
sure.
It.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was an active night for sure. It was probably the most fun I've had during ghost hunting. And then the people that owned Old South were totally awesome. And
that's what
the
I've
guy,
heard.
Yeah, the guy that actually owns it, I forget his name, but he saw me walking around, because I did a lot of walking around by myself with my camera.
Mm-hmm.
I just bought like a Pro Series DSLR, so
okay.
I was doing a lot of like, you know, self pictures for me, like art pictures, and the guy's like, "What are you doing, man?" I was like, "Oh, I'm just, you know, taking pictures for me." I was like, "I do art photography on the side." And he's like, "Oh man, I'll show you something." I was like, "All right." So I go with him, and he just like hands over a stack of X-rays for me to take home. I was like, "This is awesome."
Nice.
Yeah.
That is cool.
Yeah, he ends up being real cool.
Well, you know, there's a couple of things that I took away from that story that I thought were interesting to note. Number one, the fact that you kept your skeptical mindset, I think, is important, because I think a lot of us who have had enough experiences that we're convinced that ghost activity exists, you know, that we tend to lose that skepticism. Because I know I'm guilty of that sometimes, because I know ghosts exist. I mean, I don't know that they're actually ghosts in the way we understand them, but I believe that there are paranormal experiences, because I've had so many things that just weren't explainable to our common knowledge. The other thing I really thought was interesting is that, you know, you went in there at 11 o'clock in the morning and things were happening. I don't know why people get locked into this mindset that they need to be in creepy buildings at midnight or 3 a.m. or something to have ghost experiences. You know, I always tell people, you're just starting out and you want to know, hey, how can I get some experience with, you know, I don't belong to a group, what should I do? I always tell people, go out to, you know, like I live near Philly, 10 miles from Philly. Go out to Fort Mifflin or Eastern State and pay the $6 or $8 to get in for the day trip and the day visit, and walk around with your recorder and see what you can get. Take some pictures, find a quiet spot to sit. You know, that's a good way to get started, and it could be during the day. And the third thing I liked is that you already had your voice recorder going. And that's something I know that people have different theories on. Some people feel like, you know, we sit down, we turn our recorder on, we ask some EVP questions, we turn it off. And I'm not arguing against that. I'm just want to say that my experience is most of the things that I've gotten have not been when I'm sitting down asking direct questions. It's because
I turn
my recorder on as soon as I walk through that door, and I let it run the whole time. And I make sure to tell people, because I always like to tell people, hey, I'm recording, because I don't want you saying something that, you know, you don't want on recorder. I want to be fair with people. But
I'm recording
the entire time. That's just how I do things. And you get good stuff that way.
Yeah, I usually carry a couple of recorders on me. Like, I'll have, like, two or three, and then I'll leave those as static, like, in different locations.
Yeah.
But then I always have a black wristband, and one recorder goes in the wristband, and that just kind of, it's almost like a set it and forget it. You know, I forget I even have it, so I don't walk around asking questions or anything like that. It's just
exactly.
I act like myself, and especially, like, you know, during setup and teardown is when I use that the most. Like, I'll just walk around, take some pictures, and man, I got some crazy stuff from Old South like that. There was I was by myself on the third floor, and that's supposed, like, the supposed floor where, like, there's a dark spirit that lives up there.
Okay.
And like you hear me walking around. I'm on carpet, you know. You hear me walking around. You hear the camera going a couple times, and then I walk into this room. I was like, "Oh, this is so and so's room," because it has a name of a little girl on the bed. And
okay.
Then right after I walk out of that room, there's his voice, and it, in like clear as day, is like, "What do you think they found?" I was like, and I had to keep rewinding. I was like, this has to be somebody, because it was like, it was a voice that clear. It wasn't like whispery or nothing like that. I was like, I was by myself, and I had to keep going back on audio to find out if I was truly by myself or not. And for sure, it was just me by myself. It was crazy.
You know what I love about that EVP? That's another kind of thing that I really love, is when you get one where the spirit appears to be speaking to another spirit. And, you know, now granted it could be residual, but taking that aside, I think that's fascinating to think that they are in their own dimension and that they are conscious of other spirits with them. I mean, I got one once. We did this this historic location in Philly, and we were just walking through doing a tour, so I had my recorder going, and we were in the dining room of this place, and I got an EVP of two different voices, and one appears to say, "Do you see people?" And the other one says, "No."
Oh,
and
wow.
To me, that is isn't that mind-boggling?
That's like, crazy, yeah.
That's cool.
I mean, think of all the stuff that tells you. I mean,
They can
communicate with each other. One can see us. The other can't. Like, it just blew my mind. One of my favorite EVPs ever. I love that one.
I think, one of my hands-down favorite EVPs happened at Old South as well. And Mike, that medium that Kevin was talking about, was upstairs on the third floor with me as well. And he saw a shadow person standing in the hallway. And because of Mike's ability, I can't see him, like, as clearly as he can. So I told him, I was like, "Hey, man, I'm going to walk down the hallway and tell me when I reach it and see if maybe I can see it." And so I kept going. And then he's like, "Stop right there. You should be like right next to it." I was like, "Okay." And I'm looking around. I didn't see anything. And back on review, right when Mike says, "Stop right there. You're right next to it," a voice goes, "I didn't think you could see us." Like, it sounded like he was talking to another spirit. He goes, "I didn't think you could see us." And then Mike, it gets even better. Mike responds with, "That's interesting." And then another spirit says, "You're interesting."
Wow.
Yeah, I was like, when I heard that, I was like, "No way."
That's awesome. And again, this is actually one of the attitudes I kind of try to take with spirits when I go in, is that, you know, I like to say, because we're always trying to think of questions to ask, I like to tell them, like, "Listen, I know a lot of people probably come through here and they can't hear you and see you. And we're trying to hear you and see you." Because, you know what I mean? Because, yeah, they feel like nobody can hear us and see us anyway. And then to have somebody come through who seems to be able to, you know, that's really got to be a shock for them. And, man, that's awesome. So what does that tell us, though? I mean, living this entire parallel existence, and then we seem to drift in and out of it? Like, what are they experiencing?
Like,
what are they seeing?
Maybe their version of, our version of ghost hunting is like their version of people hunting, you know? Like, maybe they're seeking us as well, and they can only see us, you know, X amount of times, or, you know, like, maybe we just our universes bump into each other like that. I don't know. But, yeah, it's crazy.
Ooh.
Yeah, we've had, you know, we have so many recorders that will do some that are, you know, the typical, like, short burst stuff. And then we have others that we turn on when we step foot on the property and let run the entire time. And I know a house up in Arkansas that we went to. It's been on my ghost story and whatnot. A lot of teams have been there. We got crazy EVPs from that place. We had 56 EVPs before we even started investigating.
It was
Jeff's favorite spirit, because this spirit seemed to want to make fun of him most of the
that
time.
That spirit was a jackass. If I ever go back to that place, I got something for that spirit. I'm going to lay smack down.
Oh, my gosh. I love it. A paranormal smackdown.
Here's one.
Right.
I'll give you a good laugh. This shows you, this is one of them from this guy. We're at home base, and I'm telling my dad's on my team, and we were talking about the DVR, and I said something to my dad, and he said, oh, and then the spirit chimed in. Here it is.
You got 30 there. Oh,
shit. Oh. Yep. Oh, potty mouth.
Yeah. He just tried. He was showing his comical side most of the time Pokemon recorded. And and talk about spirits talking amongst themselves. We were there, and we were on the second floor, and I was setting up a DVR camera, and we had a recorder right by the one of the DVR cameras, and we caught it later when we were viewing, and you hear one spirit goes, "Where's the camera?" And the other spirit goes, "Over there." And the first spirit goes, "I'm out of here."
Nice.
Yeah.
You know what, though? In a way, that kind of bugs me, because that one spirit probably feels like, you know, again, a lot of times people will say during EVP attempts, like, listen, we're not trying to ask you to do parlor tricks and things like that. And that might be one who actually feels like we are. You know, we're intruding,
yeah.
We're bothering him, and you know that kind of bums you out a little bit.
Well, you know,
that's not our intention,
Well, what was cool about that was Mike was getting the impression from some of the spirits while we were setting up that they didn't like the DVR camera. So before we started, I made a deal with the spirits in the house. I said, okay, I'm going to let this run for part of the investigation. And then I'm going to turn it off and give you back your home. And it seemed like when we turned that DVR off, the activity picked up.
Okay. Interesting. So they didn't feel like they needed to avoid it anymore.
Wow.
But, yeah, that's definitely interesting. You wonder what it is about that bothers them. But, you know, but the one thing you did say that, you know, again, another thing that we can use as another teachable moment is, you know, you mentioned that the spirit was a jackass. And a lot of times people forget that. You know, you keep that personality and depth that you had in life. So just because you've done something that's nasty or that's violent or that scratches you, it doesn't mean it's demonic. And people, you know, they jump to conclusions. And that stuff is so rare. It's so rare to get with something that's truly inhuman. You know, a lot of times it's just an angry or a nasty or a malevolent human spirit. And, you know, it's just a whole different way of approaching things than with dealing with something that actually is inhuman or demonic.
Yeah, I mean,
and
I tell people all the time that a-hole in life is an a-hole in death, you know?
exactly. I completely agree.
Yeah.
Now, when we're dealing with mediumship, though, and just as kind of like a segue, is that, you know, the belief with mediumship, when we're talking to your dead loved ones, you know, the beliefs, a lot of times people will come to you and say, you know, is my Uncle Joe still mad at me, or is my mom mad because of this argument we had, or is she angry because I didn't make it to the bedside before she died, and things like that. When we do die, now my belief is that when we do pass, if you cross over, if you go into the light, move on to heaven, or wherever it is you believe you go after death, I believe you shed those human things, and you become pure love and acceptance, and then you can, by your own free will, choose to come back and visit your living loved ones, you know, if there's a new baby or your family just is sad or you just want to check in and see how your kids are doing, I believe that you can cross back and forth by your free will once you've crossed. I believe there also are stuck human spirits who want, because they haven't moved into the light and shed that human self, now they retain those human emotions. They still can have the lust and the anger and the envy and all that stuff. Those are the ones that are going to be malevolent. But when you're doing a mediumship reading, you know, I think it's important to tell people, your Uncle Jack, maybe he was kind of like a jerk and he used a lot of bad language and he spoke kind of callously and things like that. When he comes through the me to connect with you, he's going to take on that persona because otherwise you wouldn't recognize him. But it doesn't mean he's still that jerk. You know what I mean? You know, if he comes in all friendly and love and light, you're going to say, wait, that doesn't sound like Jack. But if he comes in and calls you, you know, an S-head or something, you'll be like, yep, that's Jack. He would call me that. So there's a difference between the way they sort of put on that cloak of their old personality so that you know who they are as an identifying feature versus them crossing over and shedding that and now not being like that anymore. But, yeah, when you're dealing with something negative and nasty, that's something that's stuck, that's never moved on and crossed. And, again, that's just my personal belief system.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and we've, you know, I think now that we have all these shows on TV and even Hollywood has cashed in on the market and, you know, a lot of the movies that come out now are dealing with demons or devil or whatever it might be. And now it seems like when I get a call or an email from a client, a potential client, the first words out of their mouth is, I think I have a demon in my house. And I say, whoa, stop right there. Stop. Stop talking like that. Number one, you don't know what's in your house. You wouldn't be calling me. Number two, if you don't have one in there now, you keep talking about it, giving it credit, and trying to invite it, it will be there.
Sure. You can attract things. Absolutely. Without a doubt.
That's like the first step that I always have to take with these clients nowadays because – of all the stuff that's out there media-wise that people watch and they go, oh, my God, this stuff's happening. And they don't realize it could be a loved one that, they're trying to guide you and you're not listening to them and are getting frustrated. So they move some stuff around in the house. So all of a sudden you get attention, the spirit gets attention and, you don't understand that sometimes that's, just because a chair falls over or whatever it might be, extreme cases, all the cabinet doors open up or whatnot. But sometimes it's these spirits, trying to get attention. I said, think about it. If you couldn't speak as a human, you're here on this earth and you couldn't speak and you wanted to get a message across to somebody, you're going to do something extreme to get their attention.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Well,
absolutely.
Allison, again, in our wrap pack, she wants to know, when you go to these locations, she wants to know, how come you don't ask these spirits if they see a light and they go to it or something like that?
Oh, help
for me, personally, and again, this is we all have different ways of doing things, so I'm not trying to condemn other people, but this comes back again to what I think is the most important tenet of ghost hunting is understanding and respecting free will. And I believe that if you're here stuck on this earth, sometimes you're stuck. People hear stuck and they think it's something that's being done to you. And you mentioned a case like in the cemetery where you felt that there was a demonic spirit there that was holding other spirits. I've seen cases like that. I've been in private homes and residential things where with noted demonologists where a demonic spirit was trapping human spirits there. And sort of feeding off of them. So that does happen. But usually when they're stuck, a lot of times I think it's self-imposed. I personally don't believe in hell like you would read, fire and brimstone and things. I think that hell is something that we self-impose on ourselves. I think you can be stuck here because you're afraid to move on or for whatever reason you choose not to move on. And I don't think it's up to me to just come in wholesale and guide everybody into the light and send them on their way because that might not necessarily be part of their path. I believe in reincarnation. I believe that we're here to learn lessons in each life and each incarnation, and then we move on, and then we come back to learn more lessons. I feel like if you don't learn the lessons in this lifetime, you'll have to learn them in the next. So I believe in the whole evolution of the spirit. That's my personal belief. So if you are stuck and you're still here by your own free will, then maybe there's still things you need to learn and work out before you move on. Now, if it is a case where you really feel like somebody is stuck and they're confused and they're suffering or they're hurting or there's a child who's like in terror and things like that, I don't have a problem with calling in angels and asking them to offer the assistance to guide the spirits out. But again, that's a free will thing. Nobody's being forced or pushed or sent. They're being offered the guidance, and then they can take it or not. But I don't think that every case needs that, and I personally just don't go in there. I don't go in there to clean house. I don't think it's my position. Who the hell am I? I mean, really?
Right.
Do I really understand what the light is? Do I really understand what it means to be dead? Like, you know what I mean? I don't know. I think that it's a tricky situation. And I just have more respect for free will than to do that. And I don't think you're necessarily suffering because you're still here either. You can choose to not have moved on. I think it's better for everybody to go into the light and follow your path, but it's not my decision to make, I don't think.
Yeah, And, you know, it's interesting you say that because the way we take it on, you know, personally when we come across things, especially with Mike, when these spirits come to him when we're at a location, unless they're asking for help, like, you know, they're like, you know, I'm suffering or whatever it might be, and they need help, then, mm-hmm. of course, we'll help the spirit. But like you said, if they're not reaching out to you, it's their free will to be here. So
yeah.
We let it be. And, you know, it's real heart-wrenching when it's a child spirit because we were in Jefferson, Texas, which is one of the top five places in Texas that it's a really haunted town. And
okay.
We were there for a conference, and we always, you know, there's always investigation that night, and there's several different locations. Well, there's one that we always went to, and we come across Mike. We were all sitting around, and we were using the ghost box, and this little boy comes out of the closet. Mike was describing it to us, and the little boy had been dead for 100-some-odd years, and he started talking to Mike, and Mike goes, "Why are you still here?" And he goes, "I'm waiting on my mother." And Mike looked at him and said, "Son, your mother is in the light. That's where she's at." And he was real timid. He was like, are you sure? And he's like, "Yeah." And he said, "You see the light?" And he goes, "Yeah." And Mike said he had the picturette in his, you know, in his head of the boy walking up to the light. And he said, "It's real touching, but at the same time, it got kind of funny because the boy stuck his head into the light. So you just saw like half his body there, you know, with the rest inside the light." And he said he come back out of the light, and he smiled at Mike and said, "Hey, you're right. She is over here. I'll see you later." And he walked into the light, and Mike said, you know, and the boy's gone. He's no longer there at the house. So,
oh, that's good. That's a happy ending there.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and that's part of it. I've told people that all the time. I said, you know, when we're in the paranormal, we're not helping just people on this earth. Sometimes we have to help the spirit. We have to give them that piece, that piece of advice to take if they need help.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm all about spirit counseling. Just to think it's our job to go in and send them on, you know, I don't think that's it. I mean, you know, we don't understand enough to think that's the way.
Exactly.
And honestly, if you are dealing with the true evolution of the spirit and lessons you need to learn, by me intervening and you haven't quite learned your lesson yet, I'm actually cheating you of an opportunity to learn what you need to learn. So it's not for me to intervene and take your growth opportunity from you. That's something that you need to obtain. So it's not helping you in the end as far as I'm concerned.
I like that mentality. That's awesome.
You know what? It's changed so much. I mean, when I really started, because when I first joined this field, I didn't believe in reincarnation. Again, I'm not telling other people to believe in it. I didn't believe in that. I didn't really necessarily buy into angels. I thought demons were all made up. I definitely didn't believe in fairies and stuff like that, like elementals. I'm like, oh, come on. Bigfoot, please. You guys are crazy. There's no friggin' aliens. And, you know, over the years, I have learned so much and opened my mind to so much more. Where earlier this year, I went on my very first Bigfoot hunt, and I loved it. I absolutely believe in elementals. I believe in nature spirits. I actually do believe that fairies exist. People think I'm crazy. That's okay. But I believe that they are energy, like earth spirits, nature spirits. There's a lot more I'm very much open to. Now, no, I haven't seen fairies. I'm not hanging out with Tinkerbell. But I believe that there's nature spirits, and there have been so many accounts of people encountering these nature spirits that I think there's something to it. So,
now, out of curiosity, with everything that you've been into and experiencing, have you ever brought anything home? And, you know, what was the repercussions from doing so?
The thing with that, I've had experiences where things have come here. Again, mm-hmm. People might think it sounds crazy. But since I have specialized in doing more of the demonic cases and things like that, if you are somebody who believes in that and if you're somebody who practices that and tries to help people who are under demonic attack, it's not uncommon for negative forces to try to deter you from helping people. So that's just
mm-hmm.
part of it. It's a,
yep.
it's a battle that goes on. So, yeah, I've been visited here by things that weren't very nice. It's rare. I believe mm-hmm. that, I hate to say it, but the group that I was a part of before, even though they were trying to help a lot of people with these negative things, I think also there was a lot of negativity and paranoia within the group where they started to feel that everything was trying to stop them. They were the good and all the evil was out to get them. And, you know, like everything was out to get us. So if anything negative happened, they assumed it was a sign and, oh, no, here they come. It was a very negative group think that was going on. So I've gotten free of that. But when I was part of that, yeah, I kind of felt like we were attracting some of it. And even possibly involuntarily manifesting some of it. You know, I hate to say that, but I think that's actually what's happening. But dealing with the legit cases, yeah, there have been things that have come here. What I tend to deal with more often than that, though, is the energy that I bring home. Not necessarily an entity, mm-hmm. but just whatever energy clings to me and my person and my aura has affected my son. I have a young son who's very – I have two kids, one who's grown, but one who's, you know, 9 years old now. And when he was, like, 5 and 6 years old – he was more sensitive, and he would have nightmares, and he would see things, and sort of dealing with the energies that I was bringing home. So I had to learn a lot of psychic protection to deal with that. And again, it's not the psychic defense where I'm battening down the hatches and I got my shield and my sword and I'm battling the demons. It's more hygiene and defending against negative entities, but also just keeping your energy space clean and healthy and positive, attracting good things and banishing the negative things. And the more clean I keep the energy around here, the better he does. And he does better in school. He sleeps better. He, you know, it just really affects his mood and his attitude. So yeah, things do sometimes come home, but it's rare. It's very, very, very rare that things come home.
Now, with the negative stuff that has followed you home from time to time, do you
mm-hmm.
feel like it was more like a sizing you up kind of thing, like seeing what you were all about, or was it there to mess with you?
I think it generally was more there to mess with us.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I think, a lot of our problems came from within with that group. But there would be times, like there was one case we did, and I can't go into detail, but it was actually the most intense thing that we experienced as a group, where, again, I rarely see things, but people in my group were seeing these little, for want of a better word, imps. All over the place, these like very low-level demonic spirits. We were just besieged by them. It was crazy, crazy, crazy experience.
Yeah.
And my group was affiliated with John Zaffis, so he would like send cases to us, and he would consult on cases for us. This is years and years ago. And when this story was relayed to him, even he was shocked by the intensity and the amount of these things that were being seen. They were everywhere. And I didn't see any of them, so I'm just telling you what other people were reporting seeing.
Right,
but
right.
What I did experience there, which I've never experienced before, is the negative energy was so strong. And I feel energy. I feel heaviness and things like that. I'm sensitive to energy. In this case, it was so strong, my skin literally felt like it was crawling. It literally felt like there were things under my skin crawling. It was the most horrible feeling. And there was one point where we felt like one had gotten into the house where we were, and I could feel it. And I remember saying, that doorway, you need to close that doorway. And when they, I think he threw holy water over there, and the feeling went away. So it was a very concrete feeling. Well, after I got home, I think the next day I was in bed, and all of a sudden I felt that feeling. And I knew there was something at the foot of the bed. Yeah, nothing happened. Nothing attacked me. I've never been scratched. I've seen crazy stuff in my life. I've done some crazy cases. I've never been physically attacked or anything like that. But that was one case where it was so undeniable to me that, it was here in the house, and that freaked me out. What really helped me with that one, though, there's certain prayers that I use, and one is called the Hedge Prayer, and you can Google it. But it's this really, really wonderful prayer. And basically what you're doing is you're building this hedge of protection. And kind of like a physical hedge where if the wind's blowing and there's debris blowing around, the debris will catch on the hedge, but the air can go through. That's how a hedge works. Good energy can come through. Negative things get trapped on the outside. It's a very, very powerful prayer. And I started doing the hedge prayer, and that actually changed the entire energy in my house, and I didn't have a problem with that thing after that. But it's kind of I did this one case. It was the very first deliverance I went on with a demonologist. And after we did the deliverance, we kind of went to the diner to sit and talk about what had just happened. And we sit there, and the waitress brings out all of our glasses of water. Well, his glass had this huge crack. Like, I'm surprised the water wasn't spilling everywhere. He goes to drink, and there's this huge crack in his water glass. And we all just stop and look at it like, okay, that's weird. And he kind of looked at it, and he goes, this could be coincidence, but it also could be what we call a shake of the devil's tail. You know, kind of like a little hoking, like, hey, yeah, okay, I know I'm kind of like got my eye on you kind of thing. And not to say it to sound paranoid, again, it could be coincidence, but when things like that happen, like in my house with that feeling, it was kind of like, I don't think it was something here to get me, more of a just a message or a, yeah, we know you're here and we know where you live.
right.
kind of thing. So, but I don't worry about that stuff. I don't attract it. I stay very positive ever since I've been more on my own with my own group. Honestly, I've never had problems here other than the occasional energetic thing where I have to smudge and just keep things clear for my son. And I do Reiki and things like that, and that helps too. But, yeah, I went off on a tangent there, didn't I? Where's my shop dollar, guys? Come on.
Yeah, but I mean, it's good because, you know, when people come back and listen to the show, or if they're listening now, they're like, you know, they can hear all the other points that you're making along the way that validates the entire story, you know?
That's true. I just try to keep my answers tight, you know? I'm real good at, usually good with my pacing and my segues, and but yeah, sometimes I just, yeah. I love interviews. I love talking. I love talking to people that are as passionate about this as I am. Like, it's just a thrill for me, you know? So I really enjoy doing this stuff.
Well, Natasha Hopper, she's in our Rat Pack. She said that she's curious about whether you investigate private homes and if people are having trouble that feel, that feel negative, whether or not, you know, you recommend or does any kind of, like, house cleansings or house clearings or something like that.
Well, it depends on what's going on. I mean, if they have a church that they are affiliated with, I think it's a good idea to go ahead and have a house blessing done and let your clergy member do it. But I also feel, yeah, you can go through and do your own smudging. I think smudging is really a good thing. It's something that's not going to be it's not a permanent solution where an actual blessing is going to have more of a lasting effect. But you can go through yourself and you can pick up some sage or you can just use a white candle or whatever it is that's going to make you feel the most positive. But you can go through and smudge and do it periodically. Like in my house, when things are intense, I might smudge a couple times a week. And then when things are normal, I might not smudge for weeks or months. So it's the kind of thing where things feel funky. Get your sage and just go around. Or I use frankincense, myrrh, dragon's blood. I mean, I have a whole bunch of different things I pull out at different times. But I'm a big fan of doing that. So, yeah, I mean, if somebody wants me to go through and smudge for them, I'll do that. If you need something really more intense or if you're dealing with something that's really negative, then, yeah, it might make sense to get either a demonologist or some clergy involved. And, you know, I can work with people to help them find somebody to help them.
Cool.
Now, on investigation, what kind of piece of equipment do you – what's your favorite piece of equipment?
Well, see, I'm kind of funny with that, and I always tell people I am not a techie, which is weird because, you know, I used to work in computers, so you would think I'd be a techie, but I'm no longer in computers. I was not a techie. So it's – the group that me and my friends formed, we called it Perceptive Paranormal Research. Actually, my friend Chrissy came up with that name because we tend to rely more on our senses as our primary tool. And then the scientific comes as sort of secondary to support what we're experiencing. And I tend to tell people, I feel like when somebody comes to you and tells you they're having a problem in their house, they're not coming to you generally and saying, hey, I got this EVP and I got a 5 milligal spike on my EMF detector. You know, they tend to come to you and say, yo, I saw this, I felt this, I smelled this, I heard this, you know what I mean? I sensed it. So I like to go in and try to sense what they're sensing. As far as equipment, I'm not a big equipment person. What I tend to use on most investigations, I have two voice recorders I take. I have dowsing rods that I really don't use much, but I should use more. I have a video camera, just a Sony Handycam that, you know, with the night vision that I use, and I have my regular digital camera. We also have my friend Chrissy has a millimeter, which I love that meter in particular because it gives you, you know, the actual milligauss reading, which is so mm-hmm. significant, especially if you're dealing with a house that already has high existing milligauss. I mean, you really need to know what the EMFs readings are in a house. So, you know, I really like the Mel. What else do we use? Like, we play around with other things like the E-Pod and stuff like that. But as far as just routine equipment, I just generally take the basics.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And, you know, go ahead.
I've been turned on lately, though, I got to say. I was never really a big fan of, like, the ghost boxes and things like that, because I always felt like a lot of that is we're kind of maybe hearing what we want to hear. But Dustin Perry really got me thinking about that shack hack. You know, he swears by that thing, and he said he felt the same way. And then John Zaffis finally talked to him and sat him down and worked with it with him and sort of showed him the difference between just getting regular, you know, radio waves versus something different that you're hearing. And, mm-hmm. you know, I trust him, and I just working with him with the box, it's kind of got me thinking, yeah, I think I might want to get one of them. So that might be the first real gadget that I feel the need to own and sort of play with.
Yeah, once you really sit down and start messing with it, then, you start getting some crazy, crazy stuff. Like, I used to be the same way as you. I was always the first person who was like, oh, those things are just hokey, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But after a while, a friend of mine, actually another guy on my team, he's like, dude, you need to give this another shot. I was like, all right. So I know this sounds crazy, but I made it a commitment to record every day, like nothing. I mean, not like 45 minutes or anything like that. Like maybe no more than 5 minutes, you know. And it was usually like when, you know, I'd get out of the shower, just getting ready to take, you know, getting ready for work. I'll turn it on, hit record, and just let it run itself for five minutes, maybe at most. And after a while, I mean, you'll notice, like if you pick one up after a while and dealing with it, they will start like calling for you by name. They will, like my ghost box now, when I turn it on, they'll be like, hey, Martin. Or they'll be like, where's Stacy, my wife?
Yeah.
It is nuts. But,
what people have told me. It's almost a case of you attuning your own energy to the device, and then mm-hmm. that's when you actually start to get better results. So I have heard mm-hmm. people say things like that before. I think that's really interesting.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, and we have a lot of friends in the field that are not big fans of the ghost box because, you know, and I know where they're coming from too, because I understand that aspect of the scientific, that it could be the human element influence, and say we have a thought and somehow that thought comes through the box, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we ask a question and we know the answer and we want to hear the answer come through, and it does. But at the same time,
That's not us projecting the answer. And honestly, if it's me projecting the answer, that's friggin' paranormal.
Yeah.
And so we did an experiment one time to show that the validity of some of the stuff we were getting with the ghost box. And we opened the box up, you know, turned it on, and started doing a session. We started getting responses. So Mike just randomly said, all right, I'm going to reach into my pocket and I'm going to get a coin. I'm not going to look at it. And I want whoever the spirits we're talking to right now that are talking through the box, I'm going to toss it up and put it in my hand and keep it covered. I want you to call it heads or tails. Well, of course, you know, it's a 50-50 shot. But
mm-hmm.
we did it, flipped it. He kept, because I videoed this whole thing, and he kept his hand over it. He said, all right, tell me what it is. And they said tails. And he opened up his hand, and I'll be damned if it wasn't tails. And he said, well, I'm going to go up a little bit further. Tell me the date that's on the coin. And we got the date to come through the box. We didn't know the date. We didn't look at it, so we took the human element out, right? We know the answer to this, right? So we took the human element out of the experiment, and they were responding to about the coin through the box.
There you go.
So,
you know, I had friends who did something similar to that, where they were in this large building. It was actually a school. And one group had the ghost box in one part of the school, and the other group had a deck of cards elsewhere, and they were sort of saying, which card am I holding up? And then they were getting the response through the box that was, you know, on another floor and places like that. So just another way, another experiment. I thought that was really clever of them to implement that. So I would like, I didn't see it happen, so I'm just telling you what they told me happened, but it's something I would like to play around with. I think that's, you know, again, like you say, you're taking the human element out of it, but it's something that is verifiable, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really cool.
Here's you something that'll make you really scratch your head, and Martin can tell you about them. Martin, I'll let you take over. Remember when we went on our investigation in Louisiana?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I live in Dallas, Texas. A little bit north, but for everybody that doesn't know Texas that well, I just tell them Dallas, right?
Okay. I've been to Dallas.
Kevin and Jeff live in East Texas. They're like probably about 2 hours away from me. But they were doing an investigation. They're doing an investigation in Shreveport, right?
Okay.
Yeah. They were doing an investigation there, and this was right about the time that I was starting to get like some really just interesting results from the ghost box, and I was really pushing the fact that it was legit as everybody's been saying. So Kevin got this bright idea. He was like, my team is going to stay off of Facebook today, and we're not going to post where we're going. He's like, we're going to call you tonight, and we're going to find out live where we're at. So I was like, okay, cool. So they go to their location, and it was probably about like 9:30 at night. They call me up, and they're like, all right, you know, let us know where we're at. I was like, okay, cool. I was like, how about this? Just as an extra beacon, turn your ghost box on. I'll turn mine on. I was like, and we'll communicate through text message. Tell your ghost box where you're at, and tell the spirits there to tell my spirits where you're at. And so, you know, a few minutes pass by, then all of a sudden I get Shreveport. So I text them back. I was like, you guys in Louisiana? And Mike's like, yeah. I was like, okay, are y'all in Shreveport? He's like, yeah. I was like, okay. And then Mike's like, well, but where are we at? And he's like, I need to know specifically what location I'm at. I'm like, okay. So, you know, I keep going through, and then finally I text Mike back. I was like, are you guys at Logan's Mansion? And from what I understand, Mike almost dropped his phone because he was so freaked out. But, I mean, what's crazy is that, like, it can operate like that. Like, I've had instances where I was able to make unknowns K2 meters or whatever equipment they had trigger by me talking to the ghost box about it.
Interesting.
And vice versa. I had some equipment here on, and they were saying, like, hey, go mess with Martin's equipment, and then my K2 meter would spike or my millimeter would go off. And then there was a few instances that same night where they heard my voice come through their ghost box. It was pretty crazy.
Yeah. Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, you said, hey, guys, what's up?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's strange and interesting. And, like, and I totally would not even believe this story if I wasn't a part of it, you know?
You know what? It's interesting because I did have two experiences where it wasn't quite as concrete as what you guys have, but I had two experiences where the group I was a part of before was a very large group. We might have had, I don't know, maybe up 25 or 30 members at any given time with maybe 15 or 18 that were actually really actively doing things. So we had enough to cover. Sometimes we'd have two investigations on one night, and we'd have one team in one part of the state and another team maybe in the other state. And there were two instances where this was happening, and I was in a different location from this one particular investigator. But both times I got an EVP saying her name and my location, and she was investigating.
Oh, nice.
I think in one case she was in a different investigation altogether. The other one, she was just in a different part of the same building. But I just found that really interesting. I never really figured out what it meant. And it also, it used her formal name. Like, she had a nickname that everybody called her. Nobody called her by her formal name. But I actually got her formal name, I think, on both occasions. Yeah, it was actually kind of interesting. But, yeah, stuff like that I always find interesting. But, again, you know, spirits can zip back and forth, and thoughts and energy aren't restricted by the time and space like, you know, like we are as a physical body. And that's actually one of the things about when I do Reiki, because Reiki is, I do energetic healing. That's what Reiki is. your mm-hmm. healing. People think of it as a hands-on healing, but actually it isn't hands-on. You can do it by touching people. When I Reiki people, I actually tend to hover my hands like a half an inch over their skin. I don't have to touch you. And the cool thing about that is I can actually heal you from wherever you are. So I can give you healing in Texas, sitting here in New Jersey. And it sounds crazy, but it's energy. You know, just as you're hearing my voice, which is energy traveling through the waves, I mean, it's energy can be moved and directed. So same thing with the spirits. I mean, they can move and direct their thoughts, and their spirit energy self can be moved just like that too. So it's always very interesting when you start to really think of it in terms of energy versus, you know, physical bodies and consciousness, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to think, I think we need to think a little broader than we tend to think, you know.
yeah, for sure. But yeah, I totally hope you pick up a ghost box and just start really recording with it, because it opens up this whole new side of ghost hunting that you never think to mess with until you start messing with it.
Now, I don't know what the difference is with the shack hack and the ghost box, because he in particular mentioned the shack hack is the one that he liked. So I don't know. Again, I'm not a techie.
It's all the same name. The only thing, there's two versions that are like considered pro models, and that's to pick up a Frank's box, which those are hard to get a hold of, and or the PSB7, which is made by the same guy that makes the Mel meter. But I own a bunch of them, and I've even built some myself. But one thing I do notice is that different models have different personalities to them, kind of like. Like the PSB7, they're good, but they're like only good for like one word answers, which is kind of strange.
Well, that's another thing though. When you talk about energy and things like that, when you're dealing with ghosts, you know, they tend to only have so much energy to do things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's
mm-hmm.
funny because when I did the TV show, there was an episode where when we were at Trans Allegheny Lunatic Asylum, and they were blown like smoke in a window. And I kind of blew it off because I'm thinking that's not paranormal, because I know enough as an investigator to know that ghosts cannot produce a smell that they can then sustain for 20, 30 minutes. That's not paranormal. You know what I mean?
Right,
it's like they're not going to stand there and be able to read the Gettysburg Address. You know what I mean? Like they might only say a sentence or a word or a phrase or two sentences at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So people need to be able to discern that there is, you know, spirits have limited energy for whatever reason. I mean, in our experience, that's how it's always been. So you kind of have to
be able to.
So people say, why do you follow that smoke? I'm like, dude, because it was a freaking ghost. I mean, come on. Now, again, I haven't seen the episodes. I actually haven't watched my show. I saw the first episode. I didn't watch the others. So I don't know how things were portrayed, but I know they did show the smoke incident. But I always think, come on. Ghosts can't do that. And when you talk about the difference between human spirits and inhuman, if something's lifting your couch or they're picking up something heavy, that's not a human spirit. You know what I mean? They only have limited energy. They can lift light things. They might be able to shove your couch and move it, but they're not going to be able to pick up something really heavy. So you have to remember, human spirits only have limited energy, and there's only so much they can do with their own human energy.
Oh, definitely.
But the ghost smells is a big deal. And it was actually funny because I remember during the episode, Steve was like, wow, well, you knew the theory about paranormal smells. I wonder why you didn't follow it. And I'm like, all right, whatever. But there is a theory. I mean, the psychic smells is something that so many people dismiss. And it's a very common way that spirits will communicate with us. You
uh-huh.
know, they will communicate with smells. And people miss that all the time. You miss, you know, the smell of your grandmother's favorite Italian gravy that she would make on Sundays, or the smell of your grandfather's pipe smoke, or your mom's perfume, or roses, or things like that. Those smells, you get them, and they disappear, and people assume it's their imagination. But it's just a very common way that your spirits will communicate. So I know we're getting towards the end, so I wanted to cut off at the end, but I just wanted to say that's, pay attention. You don't need to come to a psychic medium. You don't need to come to an angel therapy practitioner. You don't need people like me to be able to communicate with your dead loved ones. Just pay attention. If you dream about them and it's a vivid dream, that's a visitation. If you get a smell from out of nowhere, that's a visitation. If suddenly your the favorite song, your wedding song comes on and you're a widow, that could be a visitation. So just accept that message where it is, because they are around you.
Well, definitely.
The only smells I have to deal with on investigations usually, Jeff.
Uh oh, Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Yeah, we took a 14-hour road trip of straight Taco Bell smell.
Oh,
so
no.
Yeah.
How did I guess? With the guys, it's always Taco Bell smells.
Well, not with me. I don't like Taco Bell.
Okay, yeah, me neither. I don't eat meat or cheese, so I'm not a Taco Bell person, but I am aware of the male smell since most of my friends tend to be guys. So unfortunately, I've experienced it. Scarier than any demon.
No,
never mind sulfur.
What Kevin's talking about is coming from members of our team, because I always make sure before any road trip that I put on deodorant and quite a
Uh-oh.
Bit of cologne.
Yeah.
Wait a second. That's against the rules. You shouldn't wear cologne to ghost hunts.
I got this
exactly.
For all the ladies. For all the lady ghosts.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not talking about the sex symbol.
I don't know what you're trying to invite, but but then you can't catch the psychic smells.
Yes, I can.
Oh, okay. All right. Wow.
We're down to the
paranormal playboy.
That's right.
I know, right?
Oh, man, why'd you have to say that to him?
Yeah. It's true. You heard it, Kevin.
Oh, man.
You guys are nuts. I like it. Never change.
Hell yeah.
But definitely need more humor in this field. You can respect the field and respect the seriousness of what we do. I mean, we are dealing with people's grief, and we're dealing with mourning, and we're dealing with the question of what happens to us when we die, which really is the most serious question most people are ever going to really approach. So, you know, we can take it seriously and respect it, but man, you should also be having fun with this. If you're not enjoying what you're doing, you shouldn't be doing it. And that was the problem before with my group. It was like everything, it became like just a slog. Just every time you turned around, it was like, oh, we're doing so much and all the time. And, you know, always trying to grow and get bigger and this and that. And I'm like, what's the point? We should be living in the moment and enjoying what we're doing and having that passion and that wonder and that excitement, you know, and really just enjoying what you're doing, because that really is what it's about. You're making that human connection because you have a mutual respect for it, but also a mutual enjoyment. So definitely like to hear people having fun with it.
Oh, definitely. We're down to the last 3 minutes of the show. Rosalyn, you got anything websites or anything you want to plug?
I do. First of all, I just want to thank you guys for having me on. You're probably going to be my last interview of the year because I just had a really busy season, and I'm just looking forward to coasting through the rest of the holiday season. I really appreciate you having me on. I love your format. I love the two-hour format. I think, you know, an hour just usually doesn't seem to be enough to really have a back and forth. So I've appreciated the time here. And just want to mention, as far as me, if anybody wants to contact me, the easiest way is to go to my website, which is www.motherghosthunter.com. From there, it's a jumping-off point where you can get to my Facebook, my Twitter, my WordPress. All that stuff is out there. I also sell jewelry that's Reiki-infused, healing jewelry. I sell on Etsy. Really inexpensive, really nice stuff you can get. So if you want to go in there, you can get that. I also have some cool stuff from Ghost Hunters on my store. So all those links are on motherghosthunter.com. I'm very active on Facebook and Twitter. Go friend me. Go follow me. I talk to everybody. I'm friendly with everybody. And as far as my events that are coming up, they will be listed on my website soon. But as of now, I have something scheduled March 8th and 9th. I'm going to be out in L.A. for the True Paranormal Summit. I'm going to be at the Tri-County Parafest April 27th. That's out in Ohio. May 4th, I'll be up in Buffalo, New York for Beyond Ghosts. June 21st and 22nd, I'll be at the Quad Cities event, and that's out in Ohio. I'm sorry, it's out in Iowa. I'm going to be at Mid-South in Kentucky August 2nd and 3rd. August 24th, I'll be at the Fox Cities Paracon. August, Labor Day weekend, I'll be out in Las Vegas for the Vegas Paracon, and then September 6th, 7th, and 8th, I'll be in Bethlehem, PA for Parafest. So, and then November 8th through 10th, the final one, I'll be back at the Stanley Hotel for the Lost Limbs Foundation event, which is going to be kick-ass. Hope you guys can make it. Really some good stuff coming up this year, so come find me and come hang out. I just love to meet people.
Cool. Well, thank you for coming on, Rosalyn. It was a pleasure to talk with you and share ideas back and forth.
Fantastic. Thank you. And maybe I can make it out to Texas and we can do something because I'm always looking to – I'm always up for adventure. So if you have something cool going on, let me know. I'll see if I can get out there.
Okay. Well, we got our second annual. We did it last year, and it was a huge success. And we're doing East Texas Ghost Con 2013 in October 4th, 5th, and 6th.
So, keep me posted. I might be able to come out.
Will.
I'd love to.
All right.
Very cool. Thank you so much, guys. Y'all have a good night. Thanks, everybody, for listening in.
You too.
All right.
All right. Good night.
All right.
Awesome.
Very, very good interview there. She's really personable and knows a lot about the field. And So I always enjoy sharing ideas with folks like that, and they're open to listening to your stories, and you listen to theirs. So once again, the second week in a row, we really haven't heard much from Jeff. I don't know what he does on his downtime except for sending me nasty text messages during the show.
I do no such thing.
Don't make me start reading on the air sometime.
If you got them from me, then I would have no problem with it. But you didn't get them from me.
Oh, okay. I guess it's somebody else named Jeff.
I guess maybe somebody hacked my number. I don't know. I don't do things like that. I'm a nice guy. One thing I was doing earlier this evening, I was actually going over some photos that somebody who had contacted us before, she wanted me to take a look at. This is a person, she's here in the town I live in, and she had sent me these pictures that were taken by, I believe, her boyfriend's sister. And she wanted me to take a look at them and get back to her, so I was doing that and typing up responses to them as to, what I think they could be, or maybe they're not. Stuff like that. And I was putting together the information for next week's guest, which is Scotty Rorick.
Oh, yes. He'll be our guest, and he's done a lot. He's got a lot that he's done in his life as far as not just only the paranormal, but other things that he has done. And he's off of Resurrection Talent and goes to a lot of these paranormal events. So we will be talking to him next Sunday. Just a reminder, Into the Darkness is Brittany's back from her trip to Las Vegas for her birthday. So tomorrow they'll be back on air. I don't know who their guest is. But tune in at 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And Tuesday on Terrify Radio, Jody Parks, of founder of Paranormal Hot Squad, and myself will be interviewing Chad Zumrault on our show. So that'll be a great time. And just to keep everybody, because I'm counting down the days, I'm going to have to send him a message just to make sure I've talked to him several times, but now it's getting close to his airtime. So Jonathan Vankin will be on the show December 16th. He's the senior editor of DC Comics, and he is a conspiracy theorist and written several books on this. So we're gonna pick his brain on his theories of some of these things that have happened in U.S. history. So
nice.
That'll be a great show right there. So that's pretty much it, guys. Glad everybody tuned in. If you're listening to archives, thanks for listening and supporting not only Unknown Paranormal Radio, but the entire network, Unknown Radio Network. So that's all I have.
Awesome.
All right.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks for having me.
Good night.
You're listening to the Unknown Radio Network at www.blogtalkradio.com.